It is one kind of miracle to survive a Holocaust. It is some kind of additional marvel to survive a year and a half of unremitting cold, dampness, darkness, hunger, and fear. In 1942, the Sturmer family of Korolovka in western Ukraine and several other families decided they could not survive the Nazi slaughter of Jews and went underground, literally, into a network of caves, a place called Priest's Grotto, a depression inside of a wheat field. The remarkable story of their survival is told in the current issue of National Geographic's Adventure magazine by Peter Lane Taylor. We will hear from the Sturmer family. But first, the caver who uncovered this extraordinary history is Chris Nicola, who joins us from New York City. Mr. Nicola, thanks very much for being with us.
Good morning, Mr. Simon.
And to be plain about it, this is a family that the argument can be made. They hold the world record for caving, for survival underground.
That's correct.
Give us some idea of what a modern caver would even begin to try and wear and use to attempt that and what they survived with.
Well, when I go in a cave, I have probably several hundred dollars worth of equipment. I have a special helmet. I have at least three sets of lights. I have special boots to make sure that I don't sprain an ankle or possibly break an ankle. I have special coveralls to protect me from the dampness and the cold. I even have special underwear to whisk away the moisture to prevent hypothermia.
Mm. And you wouldn't say older people and small children should be part of your group to even attempt it?
Not without the proper training. Yeah. That's what made this case so unusual. Basically, they trained themselves.
How did you come across this story, Mr. Nicola?
Well, in the early 90s, 93, I visited western Ukraine, and a friend of mine and his wife, Ukrainian cavers, took me to the western Ukraine to visit some of the world's longest caves. And these are known as the giant gypsums. But they took me into Priest's Grotto, and I was amazed at some of the things I saw. Stone walls, mm-hmm. fireplaces, the remains of numerous shoes. Mm-hmm. We found many, many buttons, some broken china. And I knew that something special had happened there. But you have to understand, in 93 and 94 and 95, there was a severe language problem between myself and my hosts. So it was difficult to get the whole story. Mm-hmm. As one of them told me since then, we look for new passage, not old shoes. But I did find out that some Jews lived there during the Holocaust.
You must have been immediately curious about the families. How did you go about finding out who had been there and what happened to them?
Well, I was hitting a lot of dead ends for quite a long time. But what I did was I did take advantage of some of the elaborate search sites I found on the internet that various Jewish communities were using. I realized that there were many Jewish people looking for relatives, so I thought, if I put certain keywords in my web page, possibly somebody would find me. As it turned out, one evening, as I was going through numerous spam emails, deleting them, I got to, I think it was the 44th message, the very last one, and I was all ready to delete it. And I saw the subject line, Jewish Cave Survivors, Ukraine. And I opened it up. It was an email from a gentleman by the name of Ed Vogel. And it said his father-in-law had told him how he and some of his relatives survived the Holocaust in caves in western Ukraine. And did I have any information? And I just froze. I was so afraid to even touch the computer in case I lost the message. Subsequently, Ed put us in touch with his father-in-law, Saul Wexler, and then Saul, in turn, put us in touch with his relatives in Montreal, the Sturmers.
Mm. We're honored to be joined from the studios of the CBC in Montreal by Shulam Sturmer, who lives in Montreal. Mr. Sturmer, thanks very much for being with us.
My pleasure.
And Shlomo Sturmer, also of Montreal, thank you very much for being with us.
My pleasure.
And Pepkeli Dodik, also of Montreal, in the studios of the CBC. Thanks very much for being with us.
I'm very happy to be here.
Shulam Sturmer, what set you and your family down there? Describe for us what was going on above the surface, if you could.
In 1942, like in October, the Germans destroyed our city. They took away about 800 people. My mother says we are not going to the ghetto, to the slaughterhouse. We gonna find a place somewhere. And she called in my brother, Nathan. He is was a very capable and a very devoted brother to the family. As a matter of fact, he has a lot to do that we survived. And she told him, go look a place, find something. So we knew that there is a grotto in Birchesloth where my mother was born. And we decided to go there. And we were there all winter, and I would say the 25th of March, something like that. We were sleeping, and suddenly somebody from our people ran in and said, the Germans are here, they discovered us. And right away, my mother says, kids, anybody can hide themselves underneath the beds, any place. I ran away in another place. It's a long story. We hear yelling, the Germans, come to your house! Come to your house! So my mother went in the front. It was like an opening, like the size of a door. And she knew German very good. And she says, he was standing, you know, he was dressed with a leather coat, machine gun and a gun in the hand with a flashlight. And my mother stood up and says, hier haben Sie uns auch gefunden. You find us here too. Was haben Sie Angst dafür, wenn dem Krieg verlieren, that the fear that he's going to lose the war? If you stay here, we don't mix into politics. We just want to live through the war. So he says, Menschen wohnen nicht in Kanäle. People don't live in grottos. They're okay. Coming out in the Gaines Lager. My mother says, we know what kind of lagers you have for us.
If we come out, we go to the camp, she said, and we know what kind of camps you have for us. Shulam and Shlomo Sturmer and most of the others hiding in the cave were able to escape through another exit they dug out in case of an emergency. But their mother and other family members were not able to escape. Granddaughter Pepkeli Dodik was only 3 and a half at the time, but she remembers the incident vividly.
My grandmother started to scream, everybody hide, and unfortunately one family crept under our bed, and my mother just managed to push my sister underneath the bed, and she and I was standing, and the German Gestapo just came over with a big machine gun, and he said, get dressed. They marched us out, and they put us into a prison. They handed us over to the Ukrainian police, and they left us there for them to kill us. At the time of this terrible ordeal, when we were discovered, my father, my uncle Nissel, and my grandfather, Shapse, were on the outside looking for food, and somehow they heard that we were all trapped and the others escaped, but we were in the police. They came to the chief of the police and they told him that my cousin Usher Metzger is very wealthy, he has a lot of gold, and if he would trade our lives for the gold, if he would stage a fake execution, we would give him the gold. And so it was agreed. He brought us to the cemetery, and it was my cousin Usher Metzger, my mother, myself, my grandmother's sister, Leitje, and her little boy of 7. And he told us to all lay down, and my mother had a big black shawl, and she covered up my head. And that's what he did. He shot 5 times into the air. But when we got up, he had killed my aunt and her little boy, and he just said, Chikai, run away. And we did. We ran into the forest where my uncle Nissel and my father were waiting. And somehow that's how we escaped this one episode. And after that, there was clearly no place on earth for us to hide. And we came on unto the next grotto, the priest's cave.
And we start looking around. Then we see an opening, something between the rocks, like a fireplace, something like that. You should understand that. And we had to go in. We didn't have no flashlight. We had a candle, something. And we didn't know what to expect. If somebody's going to go down, maybe he's going to fall down on the feet. So we tied down my brother Nathan with a rope, and he went down. He says, okay, I'm standing already. And then we all 5 went in. First we crawled maybe 40 feet. It was very low. And then we came to a big place. And then as we were walking in a little hill, and suddenly a stone rolled down, and we heard that they fall in the water. So I went down, and I didn't have no dish, no glass. I took my two hands, and I put the water in the front of me, and I tasted it, and it was beautiful, sweet water. And we've seen that this year we have a chance to set up here. And we, on the 5th of May, we all moved inside. And then, if you want to ask, let my brother talk a little bit.
Okay. Shlomo Sturmer.
Yeah.
What was daily life like down there? How did you survive?
Well, in the beginning, it was, when we came in, it was the low point of our lives. You know, we were discovered in the other caves, and here we had to go in here. There was no place else to go. And the first day, it was very, very sad, you know. And then we started to set up. We found a beautiful, like a tunnel, with a covered wagon, a long tunnel. So we set up their beds. You know, my brothers, they built beds, and we brought in all kind of pillows and covers and dishes. We took in every little piece separately. And we set up that the walls were very wet, you know, like was running. But we closed up the tunnel on both sides. In the front, we made like a little door, like a frame. So after two, 3 weeks, we dried up the place, and it was warm, like... And finally, we started to adjust, and we had no choice. I mean, that was our last stop. And we somehow, after a while, we got used to it, and we got more experience. We lived, not too bad.
How dark was it?
Dark. You cannot see your own fingers. Let's say completely. You can't see nothing.
There were 38 people down there.
38 people.
Okay, now I'm going to say something.
Shulam Sturmer.
In order for us to survive, we have to get some food. There was no bakeries around. You couldn't buy nothing. You couldn't buy some flour, too. So we says if you could have two stones to grind some grain. So my brother brought in on his back, and we start having our own flowers, and we ate twice a day, soup twice a day, 7 in the morning and 7 in the evening. And we were there for 6 weeks. One day we come out, and we blocked. We can't go out. They filled up that ravine. A whole village of Ukrainian people came there with shovels and pick, and they filled up that ravine, and we couldn't go out.
Now, we should explain, this was not an accident. There were a lot of anti-Semites there.
They came there because they find out the Jewish people are there. Yeah. And they say they're going to die now there. Yeah, they discovered they fill up the cave. But we were already cavemen. We had a lot of experience. We were very good in this year. And we find, not far from this opening, another place that were soft, and we made ourselves another exit.
Then the Ukrainian police and the Germans came, and they covered this hole. So we were covered again. We were closed up again. So then...
We knew that October is the time that the farmers, there's a lot of potatoes there. They put the potatoes like in big piles, and they stay for a few days.
To dry out,
and then they take them there. So we said, we have to go for those potatoes. So we opened the first exit. We opened it, and 12 guys went out with bags. So we load up our bags, and we brought in potatoes all night. And the potatoes lasted almost till the liberation.
Shlomo Sturmer.
How
did you know the war was over? How did you know it was safe to come out?
Oh, we had a man by the name Unko. He was our connection. But we used to go out. My brother used to run straight to him. So we told Munko, you let us know. You put in a bottle, a note, and you let it down in the hall, because the hall was about 25 feet down, you know, like a chimney. Mm-hmm. And then every day we went out and we were watching, we were looking for that bottle. One day I come out, and I see a bottle. I grab the bottle, I ran inside. We read the Germans are gone, the Russians are here. So we stayed there for about almost 2 weeks. Inside, because we were afraid to go out. Every day the men used to go out, and the evening they used to come back. Then one day they went out and they came in, and they said that the Russians are established here. There
Let's
was
go.
A Russian army.
Let's go.
So we all, there so 30, we pulled everybody. Can you imagine to pull out from that hole? There was a woman of over 70, in there. And there were some kids, and we had to pull everybody out. We pulled them. It took us a few hours. Finally, everybody came out. We looked at each other. We were all like a piece of mud, all of everybody.
But it was a beautiful day.
But it was a beautiful day. The sun was shining. We all got together, and we walked about a mile and a half. 38 people, we walked in our town. And when we walked in, not one person came out to say hello to us.
And unfortunately, the minute we came out, the Ukrainians went on killing Jews. My grandfather, Shapsa, was killed. My father was killed. And several other members of our family were killed, which was so tragic because we all fought so bravely to survive. And I must say that my family stuck together. That was one of the lucky pieces that helped us survive, is the fact that we were always together, where other families broke up into little groups thinking that they will survive. We stuck together. My family was very energetic. They were very resourceful, and they were very capable men. And because of them, we have survived.
It's been wonderful speaking with everyone. Thank you. Thank you so much for your time. And for
it was our pleasure to speak with you.
I didn't speak so good, but...
you spoke wonderfully. Shulam Sturmer, Shlomo Sturmer, and Pepkali Dodik at the studios of the CBC in Montreal. The Sturmer family settled in Canada after the war. Today they run a successful construction business in Montreal. In April, they observed the 60th anniversary of their liberation. Earlier, we spoke with Chris Nicola, the caver who helped uncover the Sturmer family story. It's told in this month's issue of National Geographic Adventure magazine. To see photos of the cave, you can go to npr.org.